Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You're listening to Jones and Keith on WEEI.
Great play by White with the steal. Simons, bullseye!
Burno is lit!
White for three. There it is! 73 in a row for Derek White. And then White comes over with a block. And the Bulls content to dribble it out and take this 14-point loss. Well, a lot of people went back to the office on this Monday after New Year's. The Celtics back in their office, TD Garden. No rust after the five-game West Coast road trip.
Hour two, Jones and Keefe here on a Tier Tuesday. We'll tier off NFL playoff teams coming up about a half an hour from now. Tommy Curran, Tommy Tuesday, high noon. We also have a Keefe for Madness for you at 12:45. So busy day, as it usually is on Tuesdays. We'll get to the Celtics in just a moment. Checking the text line, though, on the Patriots and the Chargers, the Drake May MVP debate at 617-779-7937. Guys, Herbert is super talented.
Okay.
Seems to crap his pants in big moments.
Oh, boy.
When he's trailing with 4 minutes or less left in the game, he has a sub-55% completion percentage and 6.8 yards per attempt, along with a 77 passer rating.
Stat of the week nominee?
Maybe.
Maybe.
That goes in hand with something Bill Belichick, I guess, was saying to Jim Gray.
Nice.
On the Let's Go podcast. I guess Bill is still...
That's still a thing?
I guess he's still making appearances on that.
Okay.
Like, go recruit. Isn't the portal open? Did they close that thing? Like, go recruit, Bill. What are you doing talking to Jim Gray, breaking down Pats and Chargers?
That Wisconsin quarterback. He's done.
It's true. He got that bum-ass quarterback from Wisconsin. He said, what's the quarterback situation with Herbert? I'm reading here from Mike Reese, relaying this.
Okay, all right.
Broken hand and all, that's definitely been a factor. They've had some injuries on the O-line. If the Chargers have to play from behind and pass block to try to protect and throw the ball 35, 40 times, I think they're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Agreed.
So he's saying, you know, if the Chargers can play from in front and run the football and take the air out of the game, they have a good chance. If Herbert's behind, to the texter's point,
it's going to be tough.
It's going to be difficult for them.
All right.
A couple more here. Guys, would you rather? This is a good would you rather.
Save it for tomorrow.
You want to save it for tomorrow?
No. Hit me now.
This is too good. We should do it now. Would you rather Drake May wins the MVP or the Patriots win the Super Bowl?
Give me that MVP.
Oh, you want the MVP?
Yeah. I mean, I'm more about the individual.
Look, there's a lot of years to win a Super Bowl.
Oh, you get the there's whole
so
world
many
ahead of you.
That's a good point.
Yeah. This way I could stick it to Stafford and the Rams people.
Especially where the MVP jinx thing exists. Again, that's David Andrews' logic.
Mahomes won both in the same year. You're allowed to win both in the same year.
You can't.
Why
do
not
it?
Both?
Although Brady didn't.
He never won in the same year?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay.
07, 2010, and 2017, I think. So, yeah.
In your
face,
yeah.
Steve.
Boom roasted.
Also this. If you... sorry, guys, great defenses make the playoffs. You're just trying to validate the Patriots' cupcake schedule.
Patriots have a good defense, too.
Well, and I would just say, again, so people like that complaining about the schedule. If they lose to the Chargers, we're going to hear from you all offseason and it won't go away.
Listen, you have the right to.
And I'm telling you, I'm telling you right now, that's totally fair.
Yeah.
Can we all agree if the Patriots beat the Chargers, who are a good defense, then we can shut up about, and they're a good team. Can we shut up about the cupcake schedule and everything else, or are we going to just move the goalposts again the next week?
I have a feeling that, you know, Cam Newton's of the world will move the goalposts and be like, the Chargers really aren't that good.
Okay.
That's my guess.
The Chargers are good, but they're banged up.
Yeah.
Herbert has a broken hand.
Herbert's hurt.
Sure.
O-line's down. It was cold.
So, look, if the Patriots lose this game, it's fair to crow about that all offseason.
Yeah.
Patriots won 14 games. They beat nobody. They're a bad team, et cetera, et cetera. You can do that all offseason if you want. That'll be fair. I don't think you're going to get to do it because I think the Patriots are going to win.
Agreed.
But you can. If they beat the Chargers, I think all that should go away, personally.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. People will probably just move the goalposts on
that. They'll find a way to do it.
So there you go. A lot of time in the first hour on the Patriots. We'll get to some playoff teams coming up with the tiers at 11:30. 617-779-7937 is how you talk Celtics. Another win for them last night, Keith.
How about these Celtics?
They were dominating the Bulls in the first half. Bulls made a little bit of a fourth quarter charge, kind of a fake rally late in that game.
Yep.
Peyton Pritchard with a big buzzer beater before halftime. We hadn't seen that for a while. Anfernee Simons, 27 second half points for the Celtics. They wind up winning that game going away last night, 115-101. They are now the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, pretty crazy. And Jaylen Brown didn't have a very good shooting night at all. Finally cooled off. Of course, he did put up 50 points on Saturday. has put himself squarely in the MVP conversation and didn't have a great shooting night, and they still won the game by double digits against a team that's obviously not good.
No, they're fine.
But they're like 500, right? Yeah. They're not like, you know, one of the dregs of the league.
No, it's not Washington or Indiana or Brooklyn or a team like
this.
But
after a long road trip, we've heard, at least in hockey, that first game back home is like a scheduled loss. That's what Razor used to tell us.
Yeah, I heard. I actually heard Peyton Pritchard saying that after the game last night. He's like, normally we don't do too good in these home games after road trips.
So they won that one, and this team has been a lot of fun. And they've had a lot of, over the last, decade or so, prior to them being like true title contenders, they had that run there where they were a super fun team, right? Like with the Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
Those teams, they would be top of the Eastern Conference, but you never really felt like they were a true title contender, but they were really fun to watch.
They were going to give you a good effort night in and night out.
Every single night, they're going to play their ass off. This team is kind of like that, but with one major difference. This team has Jaylen Brown. And he's playing like a real top five NBA player. Isaiah Thomas was a great story, and I by no means mean to disrespect it. He was like, second team All NBA. He scored a ton of points, but he just had that feeling come playoff time, they weren't going to beat LeBron.
I loved Isaiah. Loved Isaiah.
No, I know. And that team was a blast.
But he was flawed.
Sure.
I mean, I guess every player on some level has some flaws, but Isaiah Thomas's words significant. They were size and he couldn't play defense and teams could take him away.
And it just became a real mess.
But, Jaylen, is a...
He's playing like a top five player.
I was going to say, he's playing like a top five.
Yeah.
When everybody's healthy, is he like a top 15 player in the league?
If the whole league's healthy, he's definitely top 15 now, I think.
So,
and maybe you could even argue higher just because of the way he's playing this season. Now, if everybody's healthy, what does it look like with Tatum? Different question for another time. But right now you have that, which you didn't have. They're similar, though, in the sense that going into the year, you looked at the roster, the makeup, you're like, not a title contender. Because there was like 6 years in a row where they were. And, sometimes you had Kyrie Irving and chemistry got in the way, or sometimes something happened and whatever, guys got hurt. But like, they went from being like true title contenders to like this year is like, what are they going to do? Maybe a playoff team? Like, yeah, hopefully a playoff team. Now they're the 2 seed.
Yeah.
And they've played how many games? 35 games?
So 35 we're like, games. So we're almost halfway done the year.
Exactly.
They have the best scoring differential in the East. They've won 4 in a row. They've won 8 out of 10.
And the Eastern Conference in the NBA is as open as the AFC is in the NFL, don't you think?
Sure.
They're pretty comparable where you're like.
Right now the best team is Detroit. Like, is Detroit. Yeah. Is Detroit a team where you're like, oh my God, the Pats, Celtics can't compete with that?
They have Kate Cunningham, not. Who I love, and like kind of it.
Yeah.
Kind of it. And the Knicks, the Knicks will be there.
And Detroit just destroyed the Knicks last night. So you're actually ahead of New York. Celtics are 3.5 back of first. New York is the 3 seed, 4 back of first. So it's close. But you beat Detroit. You've also lost to Detroit. You beat New York. You've also lost to New York. So I'm not
telling
you.
Those would be good series.
Yeah. I'm not telling you the Celtics are obviously head and shoulders better than those teams or would win a playoff series, but they could beat those teams. They have beaten those teams.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wonder how high they can go.
Right now, they would play a team that emerges from the play-in tournament. Like, when you're the number 2 seed, like, you have to wait to see who emerges from those games.
Good point.
You might Miami?
Yeah, you'd be getting the winner of Miami, Cleveland. It's hard to predict with that play-in tournament.
It's all very close, right? Yeah. Philly's in there. The Bulls are down there. The team that you just beat, that Bulls team is top 9 in the Eastern Conference.
Atlanta's 10 in the East. They're ready to trade away Trae Young.
As I said, there's too many playoff teams. I don't like this format. Those two teams are probably better off. They'd rather tank and get ping pong balls, and they're going to be forced into the play-in tournament.
But
although I guess they could still, if they lose, they'll get the ping pong balls.
Look, I agree with the text line, and maybe they're texting the wrong show here. Are we ready to finally say Mazzulla is a good coach with the way he's coaching this year?
Yeah, he's coaching his tail off.
I don't believe he's a bad coach. I think he is a good coach. We've highlighted him a bunch this year. His game against the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
His game against, when they were playing the Pacers. I think Rick Carlisle is a good coach.
Yeah.
Look at what they are without Tyrese Halliburton. They're the worst team in the East.
They have maybe 6 wins.
Maybe the NBA. They have the fewest wins in the NBA. They were in the NBA Finals with Halliburton.
Yeah.
They're on
a 12-game skid.
They're the worst team in the league without him. So
no, they're the Colts without Peyton Manning.
You lose Tatum.
Which is funny because it's an indie team.
You lose Tatum and you're second in the East. That I'm sorry, on some level that speaks to Mazzulla. It speaks to Brad Stevens as well and the talent around.
After dinner, you're going to be kidnapped.
You lose Tatum, Holiday, Porzingis, Horford.
Well, even more fair, yes.
Right, and I don't know how good any of those three guys would be.
Pacers also lost Miles Turner. It's like, you lost Porzingis, Holiday, Horford, all these other guys. Yeah.
And you replaced them with my guy Simons?
Yeah.
pretty much, right? And then, like, basically, because Cato was on the team last year.
Luca Garza?
Oh, yeah, Luca Garza.
Yeah.
But, like, Pritchard and White and, you know, Hauser, these guys were all on the team last year. Their roles have changed a little bit this year. But, no, it's really Jaylen Brown, I would say, is, like, the single reason why you're where you're at. But Joe Mazzulla's on that list. He's pretty high on that list. He's had a great job. He's got to be Coach of the Year candidate.
I think so. You know, I'm with you. I'd have Jaylen ahead of Mazzulla.
Yeah.
So I guess it's similar to how we were talking about the Pats. I'd have May ahead of Vrabel, but it's close. And I would have Mazzulla next, even beyond Brad Stevens, who I think is trying to do as much as he can with ownership not wanting to spend anything.
Well, and this is what's going to be pretty interesting is I think Tatum going down and missing who knows how many games, right? Because we all think he's going to be back. But Tatum going down, I think, allowed the new owner to be like, hey, we're getting rid of Porzingis, Holiday, and Horford, and not have this huge pushback. Because if Tatum was healthy and you were like, well, why didn't they keep any of those other guys? I think there would have been a little more of an issue. But now that this team is really good and you might get Tatum back, were you just going to sit on your hands during the trade deadline? Or are you going to add like an actual big man?
Keith, they might subtract.
You do that, even worse.
I was reading Tim Bontemps this morning. He went through all the biggest needs and biggest weaknesses on, biggest needs and biggest strengths on all these teams. Biggest need, he says, after talking about getting Tatum back, the biggest need is getting out of the luxury tax to reset its repeater tax clock.
Great.
And see if it can move Anthony Simons.
Yep, that is the number one need
on the
team.
That's the number one need on the Celtics.
They have a two seed in the East.
And so, like, I get that that's ownership's motivation, but guess what? You bought the team. You're the two seed without Tatum. You might get Tatum back. You better not subtract off this team.
Yeah.
You should be
that's scary.
Adding to this team. And Anthony Simons, I think is also a flawed player.
Oh, yeah, he's not perfect.
And if you're trading him in a bigger deal to get, like, a real big to help or a real piece to help, yeah. I'll listen to that. I'm not saying he's untradeable. But if you're trading him to worry about your repeater tax code to get some draft picks,
no, I don't like
that's
that.
Dumb.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. Because they should go the other way. Like, don't say, hey, we got rid of all these guys and we're still really good, so why can't we get rid of even more guys? No. You've gotten to a point where you're playing better than expected, but you need to reward the team. And, yeah, my fear is, oh, Tatum's back. That's the acquisition, like they did for years with the Red Sox. Right. Like, Chris Sale's back. That's the trade deadline. You're like, well, no, you already had him. He just was hurt. And so that's how I view Tatum. Simons has been one of these guys that I thought he was going to get traded the second they got him. And I was like, remember, because it wasn't like George Niang, another one. They got a few of these guys in the offseason.
They got Niang and flipped
them. They dumped a bunch of
them. They probably, if we're being honest, probably tried to do the same with Simons and couldn't find a satisfactory deal.
And now
deal.
They can, right? Like that date came and went. I think it was like, you know, December 5th. I think he's been able to be traded for a month. They still have him. Last night, he has a really big game. And they got a good thing going right now. But they have clear needs. Like, certain series that they have in the playoffs, if they don't add another big man, are going to be really difficult for them.
Yeah. What is their ceiling without Tatum? Let's say Tatum doesn't come back.
At all?
No, you get 0 minutes out of Tatum, which I don't think is going to happen, but just to play the game. What do you think their ceiling is without Tatum?
I think it's still win a playoff series, and then you have a dogfight against, say, like, if you end up with the Knicks or the Pistons in the next round. I think those are probably still the two best teams in the Eastern Conference. And so if you lose a hard-fought series to one of them, I don't think that's any shame. But I would say second round.
So I would say, depending on your draw, and I get your point. Yeah. I mean, Eastern Conference Final, I think is their ceiling without Tatum.
Yeah.
What's their ceiling with Tatum?
Well, so even if you say he is, just for the sake of argument, 75% of the player that he was, give or take.
Duck boats.
No, you win the East. Let's not get crazy. I think the Thunder, or somehow the Spurs kind of have the Thunder number.
Absolutely, like, have their number.
So, like, one of those two teams, I think, would be the heavy favorite in the NBA Finals. But, like, yeah, I still maintain the East is so wide open. And if Tatum comes back and is like an above average player, and even if he's not as good as we normally get out of Tatum, but Tatum's normally a top five player in the league, then yeah, I think they could knock off Detroit or New York.
So just sticking with the Thunder for a moment, I think they're 6-5 in their last 11. They've lost two straight. They just lost to Charlotte last night. This is a team that started 24-1.
Yeah, they've cooled.
Before they ran into the Spurs, to your point, they lost an NBA Cup game against the Spurs, and then two more games against the Spurs. NBA Cup.
Oh, yeah. May have derailed the Thunder season.
It kind of derailed the Thunder. I'm telling you, that thing's important, Keith.
I guess so.
If we were talking about early in the year, I'm like, they're 24-1. This is how you defend a title. And we compared it to the Celtics a year ago.
Yeah, no, they've fallen off. I don't think they're going to win 80 games now.
No. Yeah. And so let's monitor that. But I guess between you maybe getting Tatum back and the Thunder not looking as unbeatable. I still think they're title favorites. Yeah. But the Thunder not looking as unbeatable and cut above everybody else, Tatum's back. Your ceiling might be duck boats.
Yeah,
Keith.
All bets are off. Yeah, like so another reason, though, to be aggressive at the deadline. And for Brad Stevens not to, like, you just really, really hope. And I know his hands are probably tied, but it's like the goal shouldn't be save money and get out of the luxury tax thing. Well, it should be.
Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to like this ownership group very much.
I think you're probably right.
Is Jaylen Brown the best two-way player in the league?
So he thinks so.
He thinks he is, yes.
He thinks he is. I think there's an argument for it. Now, like, defensively, he can be really good. Right, like there are times where he's really good. I don't know if he's like regarded around the league though as one of the great defenders. I don't think he's ever been all defense, right? Like Derek White, Drew Holiday were getting a lot more credit for their defense in the last few years here than Jaylen Brown ever was. But it's like with a lot of these guys, like when they want to, they can do it. You know, some if you go back to like
Jaylen Brown has never been all defense. You're right.
Right. So that's why. But he's great right now offensively. He is what, just under 30 points a game scoring. And scores in a variety of ways. I like that he doesn't rely on the three-point shot all the time, but he'll still make some of those. So best two-way, who do you think it is? Because, like, obviously Luka and Donovan Mitchell and Shea, like, those guys aren't known for their defensive prowess. Those are much more offensive. Same with Jalen Brunson, Edwards, Curry. I mean, Kawhi, so...
Like, Kawhi would be a good one if he's healthy. That's a hard game to play.
Yeah, Kawhi is just impossible to figure out. But, yeah, maybe it is Jaylen Brown.
I mean, it really depends on your definition of two-way player. But if you're talking about, like, a high-end player who makes an impact at both ends of the floor, which would probably be my real stance on a two-way player. Because, like, this is my feeling about Bergeron forever. It's like, is Bergeron the best defensive forward? I guess. But is he like an actual true high-end player on both sides of the ice? He's not. He's good on offense. He's elite in his own zone. And I think if you're talking about the actual top players in the game who makes the biggest impact at both ends, it might be him.
Yeah.
And
he's got a really good case.
Kawhi's having a massive bounce back year. Kawhi, did he score 50 in a game recently too? Or he was close to it if he didn't.
Yeah, because they were terrible early, then they turned it around a little
Kawhi
bit.
So Kawhi individually has been on quite a tear. Who knows if he'll stay healthy? Who knows if this will be consistent or not? But yeah, I think Jaylen has a real case for that. I do. Now, I don't need to hear him crowing about it and saying it and being, I'm the best two-way player in the league.
But you know what?
Shaking my head that I'm not Eastern Conference player of the month or week or whatever he was crying about.
But
so.
You kind of have to in a weird way. Because you remember like Marcus Smart really started like lobbying for Defensive Player of the Year?
And it was pathetic. But it was pathetic and sad.
But he wouldn't have won it otherwise.
Okay, but like
20 years from now, you might remember him lobbying for it. Yeah. But everybody else would be like, oh, that was... He and Gary Payton
are the
last point guards to do it.
No. This is a perfect example of why Jaylen you should do it.
Well, I'm just saying, you want.
Don't be Marcus Smart on the cover of Sports Illustrated shoving Tatum and Brown out of the way
to be
in the middle of it. And don't go begging for a Defensive Player of the Year award.
But you have to put it out there.
That should be beneath you. You're not Marcus Smart. You're way better than Marcus Smart. That should be beneath you.
How do you think Joel Embiid won his MVP?
Crying about it. Try to pass the ball. They don't want to pass the ball.
Okay, well, no, I'm not defending Marcus Smart.
What do you
overall
think of Joel Embiid?
I don't think much of him, but
exactly.
He won an MVP because
kinda,
he cried about
it's kinda,
it.
Yeah, but that's sad.
Do you want the MVP or not? Sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do.
I don't
do
want
to
it that,
the things that
I don't
want
it that badly.
Well, you don't.
I don't.
You'll never be MVP.
I won't be. I definitely won't be for many reasons, but I won't cry about it. So that to me is interesting about Jaylen Brown, where he's on this real push because this is his window to fully be recognized with the other great players in the league without Tatum. Like, this is his chance to be Eastern Conference Player of the Month and be first-team All-NBA and get MVP votes and be all-defense and all these things. And so he's acting a little too thirsty about
it,
is what I would say.
Listen, he's not alone in that. Did he say two-way player, period, or two-way guard? He said two-way player.
I thought he said player.
Yeah, I mean, no, because people are texting in, it's Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah,
I just
think bigs are so difficult to really call them true two-way players. You can avoid them so easily in today's NBA.
Brown scores a lot more than Wembanyama does.
They make an impact at the rim. Everybody stands out at the three-point line. So I think a big is, whether it's player or guard, whatever he said,
or wing, I
think that's irrelevant. I think the wings are the true two-way impact players.
Yeah, so probably it's Jaylen Brown, followed by when healthy and when playing, Kawhi Leonard.
617-779.
Kawhi, he went 55, 33, 45, and then Jaylen held him to 22.
Yeah. Oh.
And put up 50 on his face.
And
how about that?
Drop 50.
That's a good point.
So point Jaylen Brown.
Look, I think I don't really love Jaylen crowing about it and crying about it.
You got to do what you got to do, Jaylen.
I don't love that, but I don't think he's wrong. He might be the best two-way player in the league right now.
He can be more right.
The irony is when Tatum comes back, he's not even the best two-way player on his own team. 617-779-7937. We got all your feedback here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get to a Tom E. Tuesday, Tommy Curran, at high noon. We have the tiers on a Tier Tuesday coming up right after Trending with Billy.